I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
I wasn't talking to you, was I?
No.
Well, now I'm talking to everybody. So welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics episode. Today we're talking Packers. We are live on Friday this week. Normally we're live on Tuesdays, but this week we are live on Friday because Tuesday was Christmas Eve. And it was the day after the Packers game, so let that one marinate for a couple days. And we are back on Friday, so we're going to hit the intro, and then we are going to do our Carrington Valentine autograph giveaway.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so we posted earlier this week, actually it was last week, I should say, about Carrington Valentine having a great game, having his first career interception, coming against the Seahawks, and we threw up a post for this guy right here, this Carrington Valentine autograph that we are going to give away here on the show in just a minute. The caveat was you had to be liking the post and following the show. So we were trying to get to 8,000 followers before the end of the year. Thankfully, with that post, we were able to get over that mark. So we have hit the 8,000 follower mark. Now, the rules of engagement for that were that you had to be liking the post and following the show. So we did get a lot of engagement on that post, which is great. We love to see it. Out of those that liked the post, this is everybody that follows the show as well as liking the post. So we have 79 names here, 79 names, and I have a random generator here from 1 to 79. So, Bryant, give me a number 1 through 5. Tell me how many times to randomize this, and that number will be the number who wins.
Three times.
All right, here we go.
Three times.
1, 2, 3. Number 4. Number 4 is Max Ferguson. So right there, Max Ferguson. I will send you a message after the show. Carrington Valentine autograph for you, Max. So thank you for liking and following the show and for jumping in that giveaway for that Carrington Valentine card. So good job for you. Congrats. And look forward to sending that out to you. Everybody else that jumped in there, I have more stuff to give away. I have more. So as guys keep playing well, you know, I got some Loves, I got some Reeds, I got some Wicks, I got some Watson. We're going to give more stuff away to try to help us, but also to send some stuff out to fellow fans. I have 2 Giannis cards as well, so keep an eye out for maybe some Bucks giveaways too. Alrighty, so we're going to jump in, and we're going to start with the Packers versus Saints recap. And going into it, we're going to start with Simon and the defensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, this was probably the best. I feel like every week we're almost saying this now, is the Packers did an excellent job of getting pressure on Spencer Rattler pretty much all night. Depending on where you looked, Brenton Cox or Rashawn Gary or whatever had the most pressures. I'm not trying to take away from someone's. And they also held the Saints ground game to 2.6 yards per carry. And yeah, it was disgusting. One thing I guess I'd like to highlight the most is out of plays where they had 7 or 8 defenders in the box, this is how it broke down. If they had 7 defenders in the box, the Saints ran the ball 5 times for 1 yard. If they had 8, so that was 5 rushes, that was 5 plays. If they had 8 or more people in the box, they ran the ball 3 times for 4 yards. And then Spencer Rattler threw a pick.
Holy hell.
So that didn't really go well for
them. Wow. I saw the statistic that the Saints only ran 2 plays inside the Packers' 30-yard line, and both of them were turnovers.
Yep.
Yeah, that's tough. Justin, happy holidays. Hopefully the new year is filled with lots of you watching the Wisco Fanatics show. But yeah. Jake, okay. How about the pass rush?
First, I want to address a couple things that Simon said. Simon, that's a good thing that we keep saying that every week, that, you know, this week is the best week that the defense has played. That's great for us as we're gearing up for the playoffs, right? Also, don't worry about stepping on people's toes, man. If you got to get information out there, get information out there, man. That's what this is for, right? In terms of pass rush, we had 3 sacks, one by Brenton Cox Jr., who thrived in his new role since getting rid of Preston Smith. He has really turned into a nice piece in the pass rush front for the Green Bay Packers. He was the highest graded Packer overall on PFF this week, so good for him. He was a tenth of a point away from being the highest rated player in the game. So take that for what you will. Devontae Wyatt had a sack. I want to give him credit for his motor on that play. He showed incredible hustle on that play. And I also want to give credit to Brooks on that play for doing an amazing stunt and basically taking both guards in the center out of the factor. And then Nixon got a forced fumble on his sack. That was an absolute great call. And Nixon honestly, Nixon's not a big guy, but the way that he hit Spencer Rattler looked like he got ran over by a semi, dude. It was like, oh my God, dude. Imagine if I was a 300-pounder, dude. You might have been paralyzed on the field. LVN, Igbari, Cox, and Carl Brooks were the people who had quarterback hits this week. So good job by them. They didn't get sacks, but they still made Rattler hit the ground. And then we had 23 hurries by 11 different players. 10 of the 11 players are from the D-line and one linebacker. That's Wilson had the one from the linebacker position, but 10 from the D-line, that is incredible. The defensive line, I'm not going to take all of Tyler's thunder here, but the defensive line is really, really starting to cook the last couple of weeks. And Halfley is really starting to cook up some different moves, not just with the A-gap blitzing with the middle linebackers, but also with the stunts. He's doing a lot of cool stuff up there. So pass rush was awesome, and it continues to be a factor in these games.
I'm kind of to the point where I do think that I feel like Igbari has been struggling a little bit down as of late. So I'm kind of hoping LVN can start to see more sacks or snaps, but I did see Brenton Cox actually led the team in snaps. So what do you think about that?
For me personally, here's the thing that I think about Igbari. I think Igbari struggled so much in the run game last year that I think he's put so much of an emphasis on it that he's become a total edge rush player. Now, he doesn't always get the pass rush stats, but he probably is our best run defender from the edge this year, in my opinion. So I don't want to take too many snaps away from him. He's the best run defender. He makes a lot of big plays out there, and he sets the edge very well.
I strongly agree with you on the we can kind of use this to transition into the D-line, on the emphasis of improving that part of his game, because we talked about it a lot last season, that he needs to improve on setting the edge. And that is something that he's been massively improved on this season as far as run stopping. So I do agree with you on that part of it. Looking at the comments really quick, Capo said, go Pack, go, and we dominated in every aspect. Absolutely. I don't care that it's the Saints. I don't care that they're a bad team. I don't care that they're playing with a bunch of backups at a lot of positions. 34-0 against anybody is impressive. I do not care. Argue with the wall.
Yep.
Zane, we're going to get into the preview in a little bit. We're going to finish recapping the Saints first. Steve said he loves to see the young pass rushers balling. Meanwhile, Preston Smith was inactive this week.
Wow. I saw a thing that said he's only had like 6 pressures since he's been traded. I will say that going back to Bryant's point about Igbari, I just think they have a really good rotation going on between the 4 guys, and it's been absolutely working. I don't care who gets like more or less snaps at this point, because it seems to be like someone's going to eat that week. And last week it was Igbari, even if he only took over one series where he had 3 plays in a row where I'll take that all day.
Yeah.
Where you're just basically forcing a punt by yourself.
Yeah. And the thing is, as long as they're being effective in their snaps, which they all have a case for. I don't think there's any reason to try to, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type thing.
Yeah, I mean, Barry still ended up with two pressures, a sack and a pressure, or I'm sorry, a sack, a quarterback hit and a pressure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't all lost.
Yeah. Okay, so looking at the defensive line specifically, Rashawn Gary was the Packers' number one graded defender. He had six pressures out of 30 that the Packers had as a team. 30 pressures on its own is wild. Like, the Saints don't have a bad offensive line.
No.
It's not top five, but it's not a bad offensive line. They have some good players over there. 30 pressures is ridiculous. And then for Rashawn Gary to have six of them, that's 20% of the team's pressures from one guy.
Yep.
The defensive line in total had 23 of the 30 pressures. So looking at it, this was something that I've talked about for the last few weeks, is getting pressure without having to blitz. Getting those four men on the front, just getting pressure. Lucas Van Ness had four. Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks had three each. And then looking at Devontae Wyatt, he had three run stops and a sack. He was tied for Adrian Cooper with the team lead on run stops, actually. So a little bit more on Devontae Wyatt when we get into the preview. But Bryant, how did you feel about the linebackers slash tackling?
Yeah, I thought Adrian Cooper just continues to excel. He just pops off the page really, or the screen, really. Like, he's just so much faster than what we've seen at that position. And yeah, I know Quay is fast, but it's just a different processing speed that Adrian Cooper has versus Quay Walker at this point. Not taking anything away from Quay. He did have a couple of really good games before his most recent injury. So I'm excited to get him back. Unfortunately, we'll get into it, but it won't be this week, but
that was a good one.
No, great game by Edrin again. He's really kind of starting to get kind of noticed by the national media too. If you kind of start hearing the talking heads talk about him, and the defense is starting to mention Cooper. Even his teammates are starting to say stuff about it too. I think, who was it? I can't remember, but basically said he has Hall of Fame talent. I'm like, whoa, slow down. So don't put too much on his head right now.
He's going to be a star. Let's start.
Yeah.
He's going to be rich.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Two, had fine games, pretty much what we've expected out of them. I will say Eric Wilson missed a couple tackles. They're definitely a liability in the middle of the field. Adrian Cooper helps cover some of that up because he can, with his coverage ability, and even if they're still catching, you know, making a catch on a pass, he's making those passes a lot harder, just tackling right away. The team as a total only missed six tackles, which is decent. Saints didn't have that many plays, but it was still good. You That's know, fair. Six missed tackles. I feel like I've said that several times this year where we're like 5, 6, 2, you know, there hasn't been but maybe a handful of double-digit missed tackle games. So maybe a couple, to be honest. So really good tackling still from this team. So overall, they played well. I'm really hoping Quay can get healthy before too long and get in there with Coop.
Yeah.
Justin said the Cooper is going to be his next jersey order. Hopefully he stays with the team for a long time. I think that's a pretty safe one. As far as the linebackers are concerned, I get that Edrin Cooper is playing fantastic, and I love it. But it doesn't have to be a thing where you go online, you make a post about Edrin Cooper and be like, we've had Quay, who's a bust for so long, and now Edrin Cooper is this shiny new toy. We can't forget that before his injury, Quay Walker was having probably his best 3 or 4 game stretch of his career.
Yeah. And maybe Cooper being healthy now and maybe being able to play a position that Quay wasn't 100% comfortable with is going to allow Quay to get more into a role that he's comfortable with. Like, rushing, that we have two linebackers at this point that can get to the quarterback for sure with Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper. Yes. So yeah, we just need to get them on the field together.
That's where I was going with, is having those two together is going to be just another potential boost for the defense. And you know, McDuffie and Wilson, they've had their ups and downs. Wilson's definitely had some higher ups than McDuffie has, but McDuffie's kind of just that low ceiling, high floor, you know, kind of consistent type player. Yeah. But Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper are our two best linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
So the emphasis shouldn't be on Edrin Cooper is better than Quay Walker. It should be that the linebacker room is better with Cooper and Quay both healthy. Steve said it's tough not to like the number 56 on the jersey, too.
That's why I ordered a Bakhtiari jersey.
Can't go wrong. Simon said out of the total pressure that the Packers had, Trevor Penning allowed 11 of them. That's tough. All right, let's go into the third and fourth down defense.
Oh, God, Simon. All right.
I'm here for comedic value only. I provide nothing else.
Shut up. I'm trying to focus again. We held them to 4 for 11, so that's pretty good. they went 0 for 1 on third and shorts, which I consider 1 to 3 yards. They went 2 for 4 on third and mediums, which I consider 4 to 7 yards, because those are kind of the in-betweeners. I have a signed Bach jersey. Of course you do.
I'm actually jealous.
Honestly, me too. And they went 2 for 6 on third and longs. The one third and long that they picked up was literally, quite literally, the only good play that Rattler made the entire
game. Dude, I'm not even going to lie to you. That was fucking awesome.
Okay.
I can admit even more how awesome it was because he threw an interception on the next play.
Yes. Which makes it even better. Next play. I believe him jumping was unnecessary, although it did look cool. It was unnecessary. He could have literally just set his feet and fired the ball over there. But congrats on him making one good throw and 25 terrible throws. So good job, Spencer Rattler.
It looked cool. I mean, I'll give him style points and shit. Like,
I think the next play looked cooler. Points,
but you did a cool pass.
True.
Okay. Simon, how did you feel about the secondary? Still muted, my dude.
My bad. I was typing.
11 people watching live, and you're going to pull some shit like that?
Yes.
You're fired.
Yep. Saw that coming. I saw something the other day, and someone said that Eric Stokes has been playing pretty good lately. I looked into it a little bit. I think the last 4 weeks, Eric Stokes has 6 catches allowed, 22 receiving yards on 14 targets in his coverage. That's pretty damn good. Though he did end up giving a TD away in the Detroit game. Yeah, yep. But he also – and he still doesn't have a pass breakup. But he's been really good in coverage, and he hasn't been targeted a lot, and he hasn't allowed a lot of catches. And PFF grade, whatever, is fourth best amongst cornerbacks since week 11 in coverage grade. So, like – this is kind of what I was hoping to see all season from Stokes, and I think what the Packers hoped they'd see kind of going into the season, not giving, you know, the cornerback room much love in the offseason. No love at all. But with Jair out, like, Eric Stokes has been playing pretty good ball. Excuse me. Flowers to Zane Anderson for his first interception on his first start. So good for him. And then his interception was really good. So there was a guy covering the flat, so he decided to drop off, and it was just easy pickings from there. If he didn't pick it off, Carrington Valentine was right there. He was going to pick it too. Yeah. So good on both of them. PFF credited him with a dropped interception. I went back and looked, but I couldn't find it. I don't know if anyone of you guys happened to see it.
For Stokes?
No, for Zane Anderson.
Trying to think.
They credited him what?
Dropped interception.
Oh, he had a pass breakup earlier in the game.
Maybe that was what they counted it as.
Earlier in the game.
Yeah, I must have missed that play. But Eric Stokes, he had one allowed catch on 3 targets for 4 yards. Carrington Valentine, he had one on 1 target for 20 yards. Like I said, he also forced a fumble on the sideline. Unfortunately, it went out of bounds. Good for him. McKinney allowed 1 catch, and he had a pass breakup for 17 yards. Keyshawn Nixon, 5 for 7 for 55 yards, and he had a forced incompletion. Valentine went 1 for 4 for 4 yards. So overall, a pretty good, solid day for the secondary.
So I'm looking into it. Steve asked if Stokes is going to be back. It'll be on our injury report later on. I just wanted to check because he wasn't.
I think he means back next year. Stokes is not injured.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If he's back next year, it'll be on a very cheap deal. But
yeah,
it would be interesting to see what they're going to do with Stokes because they didn't extend his fifth-year option.
Fifth-year option, yeah.
And we'll probably go over that in the offseason, who they aren't.
Zane asked who we think covers Jefferson this week.
It'll be a mix of guys.
That's what I was going to say, kind of a combined effort.
Because he also plays – he's playing like 37% of his snaps in the slot. So it'll be a mix of guys.
Yeah. Okay. Jake, red zone defense. Okay, Bryant, special teams.
That's exactly what I wanted. Literally, you could just do that. They didn't have a red zone attempt, so go right ahead, dude.
Yep. Zero trips to the red zone for the Saints. Love that. All right. Brian, how did you feel about special teams?
Pretty good, especially about McManus. I actually came into this game thinking the one thing we haven't really seen from McManus is how he looks in range. He absolutely drilled that 55-yarder. I mean, and it's not like the conditions were perfect. They weren't bad, but they weren't perfect out there. So he smoked that 55-yarder, so good from him. I think Whelan had one pretty bad punt that he'd probably want back. Other than that, he was fine, but he didn't have to punt all that often. But overall, there was a couple breakdowns on kick return coverage that they were able to get like to 35-40, but nothing major. So overall, I thought it was a pretty solid game from special teams. They made their kicks. When he walked out there for that 55-yarder, I was like, okay, let's see what, you know. But I would forgive him for missing that one. But that's a hard kick. That's a long kick, 55 yards. It was nice to see that he has that range. I got to think at this point that they are 100% intent on bringing him back.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, I would say.
Zane said McManus was the best in-season pickup we absolutely needed.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely has shored up a place of – or a position of
need.
Shout out to Malik Willis, though, even though that was like kind of season. That was a pretty good one.
That was in season. I would put Malik above McManus, but McManus is right there.
That was in preseason.
Yeah, that's part of the season.
I don't know. I consider preseason in season, don't you?
I don't.
I mean, you don't consider preseason in season?
Is right in the name there.
Are you drunk?
That's not the – yes, I am.
Literally right in the name.
Friday.
Yes, I am.
Pre-season.
Pre-season. Meaning before.
Before
the regular season.
That's okay. Not in season.
I think that counts as
the season. I don't think – because the record resets to fucking zeros, brother.
The season for me starts in August.
Shit counts. We're not Bears fans. None of that shit counts.
Counts for me.
Didn't they pick him up after the last preseason game?
No. I'm pretty sure it was before
that. Yeah, it was before cuts. Still, not in season.
Anyways, yeah, I don't count it in season.
Anyways.
Let's put it to a poll. Put it on the page.
I thought Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley were in their bags with their play calling. There were no challenges this week and really no two-minute situations. So, not a ton to take away there. What I will say is I am glad that they stayed locked in, especially with a lot of the second string players coming in to finish the shutout. And I knew it was going to happen that people were going to complain about the Packers only scoring like 3 points in the third quarter, but they scored 34 points against what is still, even without a couple of playmakers, still a decent defense. Like, we went through it. Their defensive line is legit. They have a good linebacker and they still have a good safety that Josh Jacobs sent 4 yards out of bounds, which we'll get to. But
he did.
I was glad as far as the team goes that they stayed locked in to finish the shutout.
Yeah.
Justin said back in 1985, hey, we are 5 days away. I mean, 4 days, plus the midnight. We are less than 5 days away from Chicago Bears fans being able to celebrate the 40th anniversary of their last Super Bowl.
You guys want to hear the funniest thing ever? The Bears, last night with their loss, tied their longest losing streak in their history. You know who they play the last week of the season? We get to give them their longest losing streak in their history. I love that so much for us.
But hey, they're winning 11 games next year.
Yeah. And the year after that.
Yeah. All right, Simon, going to the offensive side of the ball, how did you feel about the tight ends?
Yeah, Tucker Kraft did his thing. He started off the first half on fire. He had three grabs for 63 yards and then pretty quiet the rest of the game in the receiving department. I thought he was okay blocking-wise. He played a total of 43 snaps. John Fitzpatrick ended up playing the second most snaps with 26. Ben Sims with 13, and Luke Musgrave only played 8. And I think they're just kind of like easing him back in as he comes back from his injury. So I'll probably expect to see a little bit more this week as he ramps up for the playoffs.
For sure. All right. Bryant, how did you feel about the wide receivers?
Yeah, I thought they had a pretty solid game. You know, Jaden Reed had a good game. I thought Love, we can talk about it a little more. I thought Love missed a couple opportunities to have really big plays from them, but overall, a really good game. You know, Wicks got credited for a drop, but I can't think of an obvious one, and maybe I just missed it or something. But he did get credit for a drop, but he made that touchdown, which was nice. Nice little play there. The you know, DB tried to completely flop, even though he was within a yard of line of scrimmage, and Wicks just kind of ran into that zone wide open. So that was kind of
that was the funniest shit I've ever seen. I've never seen something like that. It was awful.
I thought they looked good on Watson and Reed looked good on end rounds. It's unfortunate about Watson's injury. Anyone that's saying he's injury prone or needs to learn how to fall or whatever, just shut the hell up. The guy landed on his knee. It was nothing that Watson did. He did not do anything.
Hey, it's not like Christian Watson relies on his speed to get open.
Yeah. Like,
he can play through a bone bruise.
Yeah. Also, anyone that's like, oh, it's just a bruise, like a bone, that does not feel good. If you've ever had a bone bruise, that is
terrible,
aching, painful thing.
You feel it every time you step.
Yeah. So look, if he plays this week, great. If not, unfortunate. I would like him to play, but I also want him. Look, we can talk about this later, but we're pretty much locked in where we're going to be. So just leave it at that. And, you know, I'd rather him be healthy.
Yeah. Zane said it feels like Wicks has been playing better after all these drops. Agreed. And that's still something that he's going to have to continue improving. Chris said, I don't have much time, boys. I've said this leading up to the game to my dad. No matter the outcome, I think Green Bay has a minimum of 3 sacks and a pick against Minnesota this week. Obviously, I hope it doesn't happen. He said, skull, my dudes. Keep killing the game. Chris, we appreciate you popping in. Yeah, we'll talk about the Vikings game in a little bit here after we finish going through the offense. Steve asked the question, Will Matt LaFleur ever go for it in plus territory from the 45, or will he always try to draw them off sides? Feels like they could set it up because it's so predictable now. I think part of it kind of depends on the timeout situation and time. But I think if you're going to see Matt LaFleur go for a fourth down, you're going to know on third down. If we get into a situation where it's like third and six and they run a play that is designed to go for like 4 yards, that just tells you that they're going for it on fourth down. Other than that, I think they're going to try doing it to get the free plays. And obviously if it's within a 5 yard situation, they're going to try to get that, just to get the free first down. As far as pretending like they're going to try to get the free first down, maybe I'd maybe do it against the Bears just to troll them a little bit in week 18. But other than that, I think they're pretty straightforward, just trying to do it just to see if the other team will make a mistake that gives them a first down.
I got two thoughts. First of all, Chris, never say skull in my chat ever again. Steve, I agree with what Tyler said, but I also think that it depends on the score. We were killing the Saints, so there was no reason for us to, you know, go for it in some scenarios in this game. I know they ended up, I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, but because I don't want to give anything away. But they did go for a few fourth downs this week, and they picked them up. But we don't want to turn into a Dan Campbell situation where we're just going for every fourth down just because that's who we are. I think we got to be smart. I think the Packers have a good defense. They have a good special team, so you can lean on those things in situations as well. So, you know, now that we have a kicker, we don't have to really go into that scenario. I mean, time in game, down and distance, that kind of stuff all kind of matters in those things.
Yeah. Justin said,
no, I agree.
Probably the Wicks biggest critic. Sheesh. But I admit he's been better. Chris said, not going to happen. I support y'all, but I ride or die in Minnesota.
I feel it. It's good, bro. I'm just giving you shit. It's hate week, man. It's hate week.
Zane said, it feels like fourth down depends on the team you're facing. That's definitely part of it as well. Okay. Yeah. Also, helps punting has been good. That is also a fact. Yes. Daniel Whelan has been pretty good as well from the punting.
Yes.
Looking at the passing game distribution, 9 different players were targeted. Christian Watson, due to his injury, and Bo Melton only had 1 target each. I will say, we'll get into the run game, but there were more touches to be had for some of the wide receivers in that aspect as well. Brooks and Wilson each had 1 target each. Josh Jacobs, 4 catches for on 4 targets. Tucker Kraft had 3 catches on 4 targets. There was 1 throwaway that was in his direction that technically got counted as a target. Definitely always great games. Justin. Other than that, looking at it, Jordan Love was 1 for 4 on 20-plus yard throws. There were a couple that he just kind of missed, 1 to Dobbs and 1 to Watson. Or it was 1 to Dobbs and 1 to Reed or Wicks. I'm drawing blanks. All right. From 10 to 19 yards, he was 3 for 4, had a 116.7 rating. From 0 to 9 yards, he was 6 for 8, had a 135.7 rating. And then he was 6 for 7 behind the line of scrimmage. So as far as the distribution is concerned, no complaints, and just kind of similar to what we've seen from Jordan Love. So, Bryant, how did you feel about the offensive line?
Right, before you start, I just have to ask, do you wipe less than A.J. Hawk?
Has to.
What is
nobody
what does that mean?
I don't know if you've seen that clip. Did you
no.
see
that? He had a thing on McAfee where he had like his all time like highest amount of wipes was like 50.
When you did, when you took a shit. No, he said 100, bro. He said 100. He said 100. He wiped 100 times on one shit.
Oh, he had like the permanent marker thing going on?
Yeah, bro. He said 100, bro. 100. That's insane.
So, Chris, appreciate you hopping in. You have a good night as well. We're excited for Sunday as well. Good luck. Hope you suck. But right. Now I'll let Bryant talk about the O-line.
Yeah, really good game again. I mean, when you give up 0 sacks and like a handful of hurries or whatever it was, you can't really complain. I mean, they've looked great. They've given up the second least amount of sacks in the league, only to Buffalo, and I can guarantee Josh Allen saved many of those. And actually, their run blocking I thought was better this game as well. If you're going by PFF grades, this was like one of the first games that all of them were like 60 or above in both pass blocking and run blocking. It was nice to see, you know, unfortunately Andre Dillard got a concussion at some point, either in that game or this week, but he got out there for a handful of snaps, and they look good on Malik Willis's drive. So kudos to them too, getting in the game and making something happen. So, yeah. So, but overall, just, I mean, they've been outstanding all year, and they continue to be outstanding, and they give us a chance in every game because they protect Jordan Love so well. So, and we're going to need that against Minnesota. Yep. So, Minnesota has a very good front. So, Zach Tom and Rashid Walker will have their hands full for sure. But I think they'll be up to the task.
Yeah. Simon, how about the run game?
Oh, man. So we talk about, we talk a lot about, like, pass game distribution. But the Packers had 9 different players run the ball, which is absolutely insane. Like, unheard of. Nobody else does this. Nobody else at all. Like, nobody does this. Not even the Packers do this. And apparently I can't spell. There we go.
Since 1953, there.
Yes, since 1950s. Yeah, Josh Jacobs with another beastly game. It was good to see the Packers get so far ahead that they were able to take Josh Jacobs out like pretty quickly. And I think did he even have a carry in the second half? I don't think he did.
First drive he did, because I think they said – I thought the deal was if they scored there, he's done.
And that's right. That's what it was. Okay. So he didn't go. He did go in for a drive in the second half, but he ended up with 13 carries for 69 yards. Nice. And a touchdown. Forced 4 missed tackles, and he had 46 yards after contact. Josh Jacobs, since the Packers bye, leads the league in forced missed tackles.
That tracks.
Yeah, he's been so good.
There was one I thought for sure he was losing like 4 or 5 yards, and all of a sudden gains like 1 or 2 still. And I'm just like, people are like, oh, it's only 1 or 2 yard run. No, that's like he saved several yard loss.
Yeah,
I think actually all 3 of the
Chris, all had a carry. I was gonna talk about the Chris Brooks one.
Loss, and then it's like, oh, we gained 4 yards on that play? Sweet.
That Chris Brooks carry where he like ducked under the dude's arm and ended up going for an extra. Oh man.
Did you see who got the scepter this week?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Josh Jacobs?
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So Josh Jacobs got won the Angry Runs scepter this week from Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, for absolutely destroying Tyrann Mathieu and sending him to another universe.
People said Jacobs was watched.
I also heard people
have been saying that was, first of all, nobody, but people that were saying it is people that thought that he didn't play for the Raiders at the end of his tenure there because he was injured to the point he couldn't play. The Raiders shut him down because they wanted a better draft pick. That's why he was shut down. Wasn't because he was, you know, injury prone or washed or whatever. It's because the Raiders were tanking.
And they were terrible.
Hence, still are.
I also heard DeAndre Swift was better than Josh Jacobs, too. But then, anyways, back on track. Wilson had 11 for 52 yards, a touchdown, forced a couple missed tackles, and he had 25 yards after contact. Chris Brooks had 6 attempts for 23 yards, a touchdown, forced 4 missed tackles, had 24 yards after contact. 24 yards after contact, he only had 23 yards. I love seeing that shit.
Was it Chris Brooks or Wilson that absolutely trucked someone as well?
That was Wilson.
Yeah, that was all awesome. Three of them had like a disgustingly, like one good disgusting run where you're just like, there's no way they should have made it out of that.
Yeah.
There, I said it, I know I tweeted it out on Monday night. There's nobody on the Packers that deserved to score a touchdown more than Chris Brooks.
Yeah.
I could not be more happy for Chris Brooks getting his first career touchdown.
Yeah. And then Watson had 2 for 23. It's good to see them giving him a couple end arounds. Melton had 1 for 14. Love had a carry for 2 yards. Kraft Schaaf for two yards.
Love to see
Malik Willis ended up with 3 carries for negative 2 yards, and Reed took 1 for 5. So that's total 39 attempts, 188 yards, 3 touchdowns, 109 yards after contact, and 12 missed tackles forced.
Jesus. You know that they had 188 yards rushing, and the Saints only had 196 yards of total offense?
I mean, at one point in the game, I got 2 things to say now that you just said that. At one point in the game, in the first half, the Saints had 15 total plays and the Packers had a 17-play drive. So, I mean, just let that be.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember.
When I saw that, I was like, holy shit, we are actually kicking their teeth in. It felt like after the first 2 drives that the Saints literally just wanted to go home. Like, they to me, it felt like they were a little kid that said, Mom, I want to go home. I'm not having fun. I just want to go home right now.
Dad, can you come pick me up?
Yeah, they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to tackle. They didn't want to compete. The Packers just were whooping them all night.
I can't remember. I texted you guys earlier. I was like, this game's over. Like, yeah, early it was over. I was like, it's over.
It was over.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for them to run a hard count out of the Kraft Schaaf formation and get someone to jump.
I mean,
also, I'd love to see Kraft draw back, you know, with a free play and bomb it once.
Oh my god, so awesome.
Just to get the 5 yards off of it. I still think they might be able to do that against like a rival team that watches them a lot. Unfortunately,
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This year is going to be hard because a lot of those games are on the road or whatever, but well, the remaining games would be on the road, so.
The thing of it is that if they did get on the jump off sides, the play is probably going to get blown dead.
Yeah.
But If it happens and they don't blow it dead, like, fuck it, Tucker. Like, drop back, throw it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I will say, the craft shaft hasn't been stopped yet.
Yeah, true.
He is 3 for 3.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they need to throw a touchdown to a lineman against the Lions. Since the Lions want to steal our plays and invent plays, you know, against with our plays, we need to throw a touchdown to a lineman against them.
Yeah.
I guess if they got him to jump, Kraft could take the snap and just toss it back to Jordan Love. And Jordan,
that'd be fun too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Dakota said, come on, without Kamara, Carr, Shahid, they walked in there knowing the pack was going to run through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably did. And even still, like, the Packers were favored by 14 or 14 and a half, depending on where you looked. I did not expect them to win 34-0.
No.
Justin said, I'm anxious to see who reverts back to the practice squad when Lloyd comes back. We have a really great running back room. I don't see any reason why they don't carry four.
I was going to say, I think they carry four. I think that's the route they'll go if they bring him back this year.
Yeah, Lloyd might be shut down, honestly.
Yeah, well, for this season, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Jake, third and fourth down.
So, started 4 for 4. So they started out hot in this game. They ended 6 of 13. So another game where they started kicking the crap out of the team they were playing, and then, you know, they kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit. So it's a little discouraging, but still 6 of 13 is pretty good. 3 for 3 on fourth down. We had 2 touchdowns on third downs, third and short situations. One to Wicks, where the guy apparently thought he was in the NBA and tried to flop. And then Wilson got a touchdown. We also had a third down conversion with the craft shaft. I wanted to be the first to say that, but I like that we're saying it twice in one episode.
I love that it's just become a thing in general.
It should just become a thing in general. Josh, it doesn't matter that we don't have Braylon. We have an amazing running back
group. Yeah.
Yeah, leave the pass.
Josh Jacobs, a couple diamonds in the rust.
Yeah.
And a second round.
Yeah, we're fine. Rookie. 1 for 6 on third and mediums. Those are tough. We threw the ball a lot on third and mediums. I'd like to see us run a little bit more. That's the 4 through 7 area. I trust the Packers to pick up 4 or 5 yards on third downs, honestly, if you schematically put it together. We did pick up 3 fourth downs, like I said. We picked up 2 of them on the same drive. That was the second drive of the game for the Packers. And that was part of that 17-play, 96-yard touchdown drive that took 8 minutes and 55 seconds. When they converted that second fourth down, I had my buddy over here watching the game. And I looked at him and I said, the Packers are going to score a touchdown. This game's going to be over. And that's exactly what happened, because it wasn't a game after that. The Saints were ready to pack it up. So
yeah.
They did a good job. LaFleur was in his bag and called a great game all game, in my opinion.
Zane said it just feels like we haven't hit our ceiling as an offense, and I don't think they have. I think if they have something to play for, we'll see what happens with Minnesota and then Chicago. But this offense is capable of dropping 50. It is. It's just whether everything happens all at once together in the same game. And, you know, nothing is missed, nothing is dropped, anything like that. But I agree. It feels like they haven't hit the ceiling, and the ceiling is astronomically high, not to mention still without Luke Musgrave in the fold. They haven't been entirely healthy as a wide receiver room or as the running back room, like a guy with Marshawn Lloyd as well. Justin said he's at a Christmas party and everybody's giving him dirty looks for being on here. I mean, you can tell people the Packers are more important, Justin.
We just have everybody join the live, dude.
Yeah,
on just, Christmas, yeah, all on Christmas watch 2 days ago.
Pulled up on their phone. He said 24-21 from the head, 31-17 from the heart. But yeah, Justin, we appreciate you tuning in, even though you are at a Christmas party. We appreciate that. Going to the red zone, the Packers, their first trip, they got to the 1 yard line on a 20-yard Josh Jacobs run that he threw Tyrann Mathieu. Then had no gain, a -1 yard pop pass to Dontavian Wicks, and then the Dontavian Wicks touchdown. The second trip, they got to the 14-yard line on a 21-yard pass to Tucker Kraft. Then Josh Jacobs ran for 12, and then Josh Jacobs ran for a touchdown. Third trip, they got to the 20-yard line on an 8-yard run by Emmanuel Wilson, who ran the ball again. 14 yards then, Christian Watson on the run. 5-yard run, to Jaden Reed, and then Chris Brooks scored his first career touchdown, which again, could not be happier for Chris Brooks to score a touchdown. The selfless play that he made in the Jaguars game, he deserved to be in the end zone, and I love that Dontavian Wicks went and grabbed the ball for him right away so that he could have the touchdown ball from his first touchdown. And then later on in the game, they had their fourth trip into the red zone, got down to the 6-yard line on a 34-yard pass from Malik Willis to Jaden Reed. And then first of all, the 6-3 Emmanuel Wilson runs to get into the end zone. So the Packers were 4-for-4 in the red zone against the Saints, which you love to see. So, Bryant, how do you feel about Jordan Love in this game?
I thought he was fine, did what he needed to. I did think there was a couple plays he left out there. I think on the really ugly duck ball that he tried to throw outside, I just think it was a try to like quick snap pop pass. And I just don't think he had proper grip on the ball. So I don't, look much into that. He probably just didn't have it on the laces. I did think there was a big crosser that he missed that he could have hit to Jaden Reed, almost similar to what Malik Willis did hit. I thought he had him open, probably could have hit him. Other than that,
what you're saying is Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love.
Yeah, exactly what I said.
Yeah.
So
just wanted to make sure I was reading between the lines properly.
Yep, exactly. I love Jordan's smile when you see that throw from Malik Willis to Jaden Reed. Like, you can see they just all love each other and support each other. But overall, I thought he had an okay game, fine game. He had a couple balls like batted down or tipped or just a little off. But early in the season, some of those bats, like that one that where the Saints players ran into each other, so it didn't result in the interception. Those were going against us. I feel like we're kind of like the tide has turned a little bit, and those are not going against us. So that was nice to see. So overall, solid game. I feel like he did what he needed to, and if he needed to throttle it back up for any reason in this game, he probably could have. But I think they pretty much got to that. The game was over after the first 5 drives because it went touchdown, punt, touchdown, punt, touchdown. So, I just don't think he really cared.
No.
And not that he didn't care. I don't want to say that. I just don't think that they had to put a lot on tape. I feel like they're like, we won this game. Let's just vanilla the rest of the way.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I wrote too, is like, he was surgical the first 3 drives and the next couple drives are kind of average. And then they started pulling starters. Simon, what did you think of Jordan Love?
I think you guys kind of hit most of it. He had a few throwaways as well. So kind of like those were plays that are going to take away from how his percentage looked. But one thing I found, Jordan Love was really good against the blitz. He went 9-for-11 for 81 yards and a touchdown against the blitz, which is really good. And that's way improved from what we saw earlier this season. Other than that, I don't really have a lot to add. Brian said, I think he did exactly what he needed to do, and he got away with allowing the second, third string guys to get some snaps. And we take those all day.
Yeah. Jake, did you have anything to add on Jordan Love?
Nothing specifically on Jordan Love, just kind of hilarious that the Packers had 2 quarterbacks better than the Saints had 1. So good job by Green Bay.
I will say, hell of a throw. I know people are like, oh, he could have let Jaden Reed a little more and he could have been running. I'm like, dude, come on. Like, you can't be 100% perfect all the time. That was still a laser to Jaden Reed on that one big one to get him out towards midfield. I think on his last drive before they kicked the field goal and pulled him.
Can I address this? Zane, it is Toyota-thon. We don't have to worry about Jordan.
he did have 0 turnover-worthy plays today, this week.
Yeah, that's good to know as well.
I think that's like 6 weeks running. Like, I don't remember the last time where I watched him play.
He hasn't been picking since the Chicago game, which is 5
years. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right, let's go to the preview. Let's start talking Packers Vikings. This game did get flexed to 3:25. They couldn't flex it any farther than that because they're on CBS, so they can only flex it so far. So that's where they moved it to, was the 3:25 game. So starting with Bryant, what are you looking for from the Packers defense against the Vikings offense?
Yeah, the left side of their line is bad. Okay, so their left tackle, their left guard, and including their center, give up a lot of sacks. The Vikings have given up. But they've given up 46 sacks on the season. That part of the line has been credited for 16 of them, which you would think the other side, but there's plenty of that. Like O'Neal is very good. He's only given up 2. That doesn't, and the right guard, it's not like the right guard is giving up 30. So the rest of them are just like they probably got rid of the ball. But I think what they need to do is attack that, overstack that left side of that line, bring some linebacker blitzes to that side, and get Darnold kind of rushing a little bit, trying to throw, get rid of the ball, and, you know, get a couple sacks or a good handful of sacks. And then the one part I'm really worried about is the middle of the field against Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. People have killed us there. We're going to be missing, you know, no Evan Williams. Quay's not going to be back. So they need to figure out a way to try to do something in the middle of the field to just not absolutely get annihilated like we did against the Lions. You got to slow them down somehow in the middle of the field. Otherwise, it's just going to be bad. The outside, we've been playing phenomenal on the outside. But in the middle of the field, it'll be interesting if we get Bowler back, if they have anything up their sleeve to try to help with this. So we'll see. But you need to pressure – the defense just needs to pressure Sam Darnold, who can throw some picks and take some sacks, and then just try to slow down Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Simon, what do you have thoughts on the Packers defense against the Vikings offense?
Yeah, I found something on the middle of the field. Let me highlight it so I can read it. All right, so Packers linebackers have allowed the most receptions with 104, second most yards, 1,052, and 11th highest completion percentage, 78.2% as a unit in the middle of the field.
I could have went the rest of my night without hearing that. So thank
you. You're welcome, buddy.
That's a big
I'm here for. I'm curious at what it kind of looks like with Cooper back in the middle, though, and how it's evolved. Because having him back, I feel like it hasn't been as bad. I think Wilson and McDuffie are...
That Dolphins game, I feel, had to...
It was like, really... That was like a really bad game for the linebackers.
That and the Lions. The Lions game is really bad, too.
Yeah. They crushed us in the middle of the field.
We're letting anyone have whatever they want short underneath, and unfortunately, when you go against high efficiency quarterbacks like Goff or Darnold has been this year, it's going to kill us. So I'm hoping they have something for that.
No. But Darnold's kind of lived off the deep ball this year, which has worked out.
No, so sorry. You're getting ahead on my paper.
Jake, go ahead. Earlier in the game, earlier in the show, if you have something to say, just make sure you say it. No, he's telling you to stop.
But yeah, Brian kind of hit most of it on the head, to be honest. I had to say, all the eyes are going to be on the Packers secondary without Jair this week. Aaron Jones has been pretty solid, but the Minnesota run game hasn't been that good this year. They're like near bottom of the league in yards per rush average. Mm-hmm.
All right, Jake, what are you looking for from the Packers defense?
Yeah, so I'm just going to piggyback off what they said real quick because I was noticing something too. The Vikings really try to stretch you horizontally both ways. I don't want to give them too much credit because I actually do hate the Vikings fans. I think they're freaking low-life POSs. But Kevin O'Connell is actually a very good head coach for them. He's young. He has a very bright future in this league. He's going to be a coach for a long time if that's what the Vikings are not. But he really does a nice job mixing up the play calls. So he does a nice job, you know, stretching you outside the numbers and then hitting you over the middle deep. They've done a really nice job moving Jay Jettas around a lot this year, putting him in the slot a bunch and putting a lot of pressure on your middle linebackers and your safeties. In terms of third down defense, the Packers are seventh in the NFL at 35.71. Over the last 3 weeks, we're the 13th best third down defense. In terms of third down offense for the Vikings, they are at 40.57%, 11th in the NFL. They're 11th in the NFL over the last 3 weeks as well. Red zone, the Packers are giving up touchdowns on 60% of the red zone trips. They've only had one attempt in the last two games. So they're doing a good job not allowing people to get to the red zone. And then 0-for-1 over the last eight quarters of football is very good. I do want to say, in terms of Minnesota, this is another thing I got to give them credit for. Their red zone offense, they're scoring touchdowns on 60.38 on the season. Over the last 3 weeks, they're scoring touchdowns on 90% of their trips to the red zone. That's insanity. At home, they are the eighth best red zone offense at 68%. So Packers on the road are 24th best red zone defense. So that could be a determining factor in this game, their offense versus our defense in the red zone.
Brad brought up something that Steve mentioned before. He said Gary scaring Lisa Salters during Love's interview was hilarious. It is funny. Darian said, I enjoy the improvement of Keyshawn Nixon and Eric Stokes at cornerback so far. They've been better than people are giving them credit for.
Coaching matters. Coaching matters. Coaching matters. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it shows up in the missed tackles, I think, as well. Looking at it, what I've taken away, and this I kind of touched on this and teased it a little bit in the recap. Healthy Wyatt, happy life. He's obviously good on his own to have run stops, be good in the pass rush, and I believe it's helping open things up for guys like Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley and Igbari, and Brenton Cox. We keep talking about how good these guys have been since the Preston Smith trade, since the trade deadline, and you look at just the last few weeks, Devontae Wyatt being back and healthy helps open things up for those guys. So it's really less about, you know, Kenny Clark or Rashawn Gary needing to do things individually. I'm really looking at this defensive line as an entire unit. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the games, you watch the way that they rush the passer, it's very Baltimore style where they are trying to run shit into each other and get offensive linemen trying to block the same guy to open things up for each other. Rashawn Gary and Quay Walker have done this a bunch of times. Edrian Cooper and Kenny Clark, like, they've done this. Carl Brooks, LVN, they've all done this for each other where they'll start blocking one guy and then just veer over to block the guy next to them while the guy is still currently blocking them so the other guy can loop around for a sack. And Devontae Wyatt and TJ Slayton, like, this unit is really more a collective than individuals is how I'm viewing it. So I'm going to keep taking things away from that. The way that we were saying it earlier in the season is that there's more to pass rush than sacks. And we saw on film guys doing things unselfishly to open things up for each other. So I'll be looking for more of that. Bryant, what are you looking for on special teams?
Yeah, I can't afford any mistakes. We probably in a dome, you're not going to see many return opportunities, more than likely. We'll see if Keyshawn takes any out. But for McManus, you know, they have a really good kicker in Minnesota. He don't miss a whole lot. So McManus needs to match that too. So, you know, points are going to be at a premium this game. Not because I think it'll be a defensive struggle, because I think you're going to need every single point you can get to try to beat this team. So just make your kicks. Whelan should have a return to form game because there's really, you know, he's kicking inside a damn dome. So hopefully he doesn't have to punt too much, but when he does, pin him back. That's, you know, so just make your kicks.
Yeah. As far as coaching goes, my main thing is that we can't let the Vikings get off to the fast start that they got off to in Green Bay. And we'll talk about this, I'm sure, as we get into the offense, but that was Jordan Love's first game back from his injury. Mm-hmm. So I think that was also a factor. But again, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the offensive part of it. The other thing that I want to say is Matt LaFleur is smart to be on the fence with Christian Watson and even Jaire Alexander. This is a situation where the Packers are pretty much locked into the sixth seed. They have to win out, and the Vikings have to lose out for them to jump to the five seed. And they're still ahead of the Commanders by a full game. So they're pretty much locked in to the sixth seed. So having these guys ready for the playoffs is really the bigger piece of importance. Other than that, I will say, as far as Jaire Alexander is concerned, what I've taken away from the reports that I've seen, mainly from Matt Schneidman, is that Jaire had a setback in his recovery. And that's why he went from full to limited to did not practice. And that's why he's still out. If he ends up having a surgery, I respect him more for trying to rehab it and be able to play through it than just saying, yep, it's week 10 and I'm just going to end my season.
Agreed.
I respect him for trying to make it. So, hey, if I can play week 18 and the playoffs, I'll do that. I don't understand the weaving of people that are trying to somehow like demean Jair for not having a surgery 6 weeks ago. So I'll leave that at that. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Simon, what are you looking for from the Packers on offense against the Vikings defense?
Yeah, I think you kind of said a lot about it, but getting down 28-0 and relying heavily on the pass to get back into the game is not the way the Packers are going to win this game. Like, it's just not the way they roll. The Vikings do have a pretty stingy defense when it comes to the run, but you got to just stick with it. They passed, I think, 79% of the game last time versus Minnesota, which is the highest in a game since 2019 for the Packers.
Damn.
Yeah. The offense is at their best when they have a really balanced attack. Mm-hmm. And Josh Jacobs has obviously been on an absolute tear. We pretty much gave him praise all this whole season. He's been good. Mm-hmm. And it's Toyota-thon, so Love's going to go out there, and he's going to have a good game. And this is, to me, a Josh Myers game as well. Brian Flores mm-hmm. loves throwing blitzes at the Packers. And like I said earlier, Jordan Love's been better against the blitz in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. So Josh Myers has to be out there making good blocking calls and shifts for the offensive line for this offense to be successful.
For sure. Bryant, what are you looking for from the Packers offense?
Yeah, Simon kind of hit the nail on the head with their rush defense is very, very stingy, only allowing 3.9 yards per carry. What we're going to have to do is we're going to protect Jordan really well, and I think maybe use our short passing game to kind of make up for some of that, you know, the running game. I do agree we need to stick with the running game as long as it's being somewhat effective. If not, they seem to have gotten back to the screen game a little bit over the last couple games. So, you know, Brian Flores' defense that's going to over-pursue or maybe be very aggressive. Maybe you can sneak a couple screens in there. Just be careful because Van Winkle is very good at stealing.
Ginkle.
Huh?
Ginkle. Van Ginkle.
Whatever. Van Winkle, Van Dinkle.
Hey.
Grenard's been good, too.
Some respect.
Yeah, whatever.
Former Badger. He can go fuck himself this week. How about that?
I'm done with that. I did, dude.
Damn.
You know, be careful against him. He is a good player. There, you happy? But I do think their secondary, they can take the ball away, but they can also give up a lot of yards, and you can be effective moving the ball against them through the air. So Jordan Love has to be careful and be smart with his throws, but I think, you know, you can definitely scheme up some plays to get people open downfield against this team. So if Watson doesn't play, which I would be a little surprised after not practicing, we're going to need someone like Bo Melton who can be a little bit of a speedster to step up as well. And same with Malik Heath and, you know, Wicks and Jaden Reed to have really solid games. We have Musgrave back out there. So we just need those guys to step up.
Yeah. Jake, what are you looking for from the Packers on offense?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with third down offense. Third down offense, Packers are 14th in the NFL. They've been slowly, gradually climbing that number, so that's a good thing. They're itching towards the number I wanted them to be at the whole season. They're at 38.55%, so that's pretty solid. Over the last 3 weeks, they are at 40%. So that's the number I kind of wanted, 40, 43%. Just, you know, extending drives. Third down defense, the Vikings are very good. They're second in the NFL at 33.68%. They're actually the only team that's, you know, they're close to the Lions. The Lions are the first, you know, best third down defense. So we got some good teams in this division. It's going to be a big time game. Over the last 3 weeks, they're only allowing third down conversions of 28.57%. That is insane percentage. And they're third. I was like, what? That's crazy. A main thing that we're going to have to look out for, and everybody's been talking about, is Jordan Love versus the Blitz, right? Minnesota has the highest blitz rate in the NFL at 38%. That's crazy. Jordan Love in the first 7 weeks of the season had the third worst QBR against the blitz. In the last six games since then, he has the number one QBR in the NFL against the blitz at 97. So good job by him. That's going to be important. Jordan Love versus the blitz and third downs. That's what's going to be the determining factor on offense.
Zane said we got to win on first and second down. Absolutely. As far as the passing game distribution is concerned, just keep doing what you're doing. We have the wide receivers. If Watson can't go, we still have guys. Have guys in the room that we trust, even Malik Heath and Bo Melton, like Jake and Brian were saying. We also have a tight end. Tucker Kraft is absolutely a stud. His name is going to come up again. So that, and then I like seeing Josh Jacobs involved in the passing game. You know, he's not going to get 30 carries in a game, but if he gets 25 touches and it's 20 carries and five targets, like, I'm happy with that. As far as Justin Jefferson's concerned, Matthew, it's going to be, we're kind of all in agreement that it's going to be a committee. Adarian said, I'm hoping Luke Musgrave gets some targets this game while he has returned. Honestly, as far as targets are concerned, if he gets one or two, great. If not, I just want to see him, his snap count increase. That's really my main thing. As far as the red zone, the Packers are up to 11th in red zone touchdown percentage. I will say, if we're going off of feel and the context of some of the things that they've done in the red zone, I'd have no problem calling the Packers a top 10 red zone offense. As far as, you know, like I said, the context is concerned. Officially, they are scoring on 59.7% of their red zone drives. Minnesota allows 54.8%. So if they get five chances in the red zone, I'd be happy with 3 out of 5 or better. Going into the injury designations, Bryant, what's on the injury report?
Yeah, for the Vikings, they're pretty damn healthy this game, to be honest. They're missing Morneau, who's a backup tight end. They looks like they'll get Ivan Pace Jr. back, who's been a very good linebacker for them. For the Packers, it's not the same. We are unfortunately going to be without Justin Jai Alexander. We're going to be without Evan Williams. We're going to be without Quay Walker. Christian Watson is spotty at best. And then Javon Bullard. I guess he's looked good, so we might get him back at least. You know, so we definitely have some injuries, but hopefully, you know, that doesn't make for excuses. But I will say, if Watson isn't, you know, 90%, or if there's any chance of him really, which a bruise, he really probably really wouldn't be re-injuring or anything, I would say just hold him out, because ultimately being healthy into the playoffs is the most important.
Right. All right. Jake, what is the weather going to be like?
They're playing a dome.
Okay. Moving on. Simon, what is your matchup to watch?
Sorry, I was talking trash on Twitter. the secondary versus the Vikings wide receivers. I don't think that's surprising.
Yep. All right, that makes sense. I had something similar written down, but unfortunately with Jair being out, that changes things, but I'm not going to go too far into it because I have similar thoughts when I get to X-Factors. So, Bryant, what is the matchup you're watching?
Yeah, Jeff Hafley versus the left side of the Vikings offensive line. I think if you can overpressure them, I think you can beat them there. I think you can basically get home and beat them on that left side, and that's how you disrupt this team and go in there and upset them.
I like it. Jake, what is the matchup you're watching?
Brian, I like that one too. That was good. I have Packers versus short game. In the Packers' 4 losses this season, they have allowed opposing passers to go 36 of 43 for 274 yards and 3 touchdowns and a pick, and a completion percentage of 84% in the short game. Darnold's average time to throw is 3.8 seconds per next-gen stats. So I don't think that's going to be an Achilles. The Achilles heel for the Packers has been the short game all year. So I don't think it's going to be a problem versus Darnold, but going to have to watch people like Aaron Jones and TJ Hockenson underneath.
I like it. All right. Zane said Valentine legacy game incoming. And Brad said coverage on Addison. So we can combine that with that. Let's talk X factors. Simon, who is your X factor?
My X factor is Carrington Valentine. Hey, who said it?
Let me jump in, because my X factor is Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine. Because I had written down, regardless of what happens with Jair, one of them is going to have to be covering Addison.
That's fair.
So that's what I had in there. Bryant, who's your X factor?
Mine is Xavier McKinney. kind of thinking that same thing. I think he's going to be used to double Justin Jefferson a lot, or, you know, playing kind of roaming around that deep part of the field. And we said they like take some deep shots, you know, to win this game. It's going to require a turnover or two. And I think he has a chance to maybe give that to us.
I like it.
Or maybe pressure up the middle and an overthrown ball over the middle of the field to him as well.
Jake, who's your X factor?
My X factor is controlling the big plays. The Packers gave up 4 20-plus-yard passes in that week 4 matchup versus the Vikings, and that doesn't include another 18-yarder that they hit to Addison early in the game as well. So you're talking basically 5 passes that were over 20 yards. And remember, they took their foot off the gas after they were winning 28-0 and really didn't start playing again until the game got, you know, basically within one score. So got to control the big-time plays.
That is understandable. So Justin gave us his score predictions earlier. Darian said, I feel like the Packers need to be better in the trenches to win. Our pass rush wasn't present against the Vikings last time, but it should be there this time. So much has changed since week 4. Yeah. You're talking 12 weeks ago, 3 months ago. So a lot has changed. So going into it, Bryant, give me your score prediction from the head.
Yeah, like I said, I'll never pick against the Packers. So, but it's just, it's a superstition thing for me. But I'll go 30-28 Packers from the head.
I have 30-24 Packers.
So do I, dude.
That's 30-27. Yeah. 30s. We're scoring 30 this week.
Understand. All right, Bryant from the heart.
I'll go 35-28.
I have 33-20. Bryant? Sorry, Simon?
The other guy?
Yeah, the other guy that used to be in the Army that still is.
30-23. Can't escape it, dude.
I have 31-20 Green Bay.
I like it. All right. Let's go to some Simon Says. I will always go first with Bryant because he lives for this segment.
There's a reason why my heart score is what I said it was. So Jordan Love has a few games in his career where he's thrown 4 touchdown passes. This will be his first 5 touchdown pass game.
Yeah. I also bold prediction him 4 touchdown passes. So I could honestly see it. This could be a very back and forth game.
All right. I'll say this. 3 of those touchdowns going to Tucker Kraft, baby.
Let me jump in, because Tucker Kraft is going to stiff arm Bynum on the way to one of those touchdowns.
All right, Tucker Kraft getting some love this week.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I thought you were going to say Kraft Shaft for a touchdown.
Oh, I totally dinked for this last week.
Dude, if we score a touchdown on a Kraft Shaft, might be a cleanup on aisle pants.
One of the reasons why I want the Packers to win this game so badly too is I want to bring back that meme, that really crappy one I made last week where I pasted Jordan Love's face over the great
Aaron Rodgers. This is terribly photoshopped.
Yeah. I was like, obviously, dude, I put like 2 minutes of work into it. I don't give a shit. You get what's going on.
I missed it. I'll have to look at it.
Really? I made that last year when they won in Minnesota.
I remember that.
It was a really shitty job. I did it on my phone.
Head over Aaron Rodgers when he was sipping the Purple Crush.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that now.
Going to the defensive side of the ball, Adarian said his X factor is the linebackers. Cooper has been showing up. The other linebackers need to be better prepared, especially in coverage. I mean, that's what they drafted Cooper for, so... Afem said we're ridiculous.
Yeah.
you don't even know half of it, bud.
I really like the next one. Purple, I've never seen
the win. He can't stand the purple incarnations.
I've never heard purple incarnations before. That's a good one.
All right, Brian, you got one for defense?
I do. The Packers produce 5 sacks, including 1 that goes for a strip sack, fumble, or touchdown recovery. I'll call that Adrian Cooper scooping that up. Maybe Gary forces it and Coop scoops it.
A Coop scoop.
Coop scoop.
A Cooper scooper. Nice.
A Coop scoop into a craft shaft for a 2-point conversion.
Well, anytime Adrian Cooper recovers a fumble for the rest of his life. We have the Cooper Scooper.
We're not good at Cooper this. Cooper
Scooper. Fuck no, you, I'm that. Great at this. Crash Nap and Cooper Scooper? Those are elite. Thank you up onto the defensive side of the ball.
7 sacks, 24 pressures.
Ah, damn. 2
turnovers.
Jesus. 7 sacks.
Just so everyone knows,
they're both. Dude, they've given up 46 on the year. Could happen.
It's less than 3 a game.
No,
it's 9 for 7 in one game. Okay. Right?
We've only done that one time this year. No, 2. Shoot,
we've done that twice.
Twice, yeah. My bad.
More than 3 per game, but
mine is Army mine now. Is super.
They've played 15 games. Vanilla 46 compared sacks. To the
rest of yours.
No, this is week. Darnold
for 3 turnovers.
Oh yeah, fuck. You're right. Yeah. I thought it was week. Yeah, I thought they had already played 17 games.
Yeah, sure. I have Darnold for 3 turnovers. That's all I had.
Ooh.
Zane said McKinney for 2 picks.
I really want him to get another one. I want him to take that low number one spot so bad. He was this close last week.
I know. Did
you guys watch how close it was? It was really close.
Yeah. I was in the stands, and I'm just like, throw the challenge flag, Matt.
That's the end of the half.
I don't give a shit.
He comes out the first play of the third quarter as him challenging the play.
Damn, blood, dude.
I would have been okay with it. All right. Zane said one of them goes for 6. Jordan said it's been fun seeing 3 of the team's newest members having some of the biggest impact between Xavier, Jacobs, and McManus. I expect them all to play a big part against the Vikings. Absolutely.
The free agency, the free agent signings, this, I mean, you cannot give them enough credit and Goot to how good all those players have been for this team. Well, like, just absolutely changed this season.
You could think about it even going into next season, because let's be honest, they picked up Chris Brooks this offseason, right? Or in season or whatever. Uh-huh. Marshawn Lloyd is going to have a spot on this team. Unless they're carrying 4 running backs, one of those, either Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks, is worth a pick. So it's very possible you could see that. I know that's jumped away into the offseason, but just what Goody has been doing with, like, you know, picking people off the pile and stuff, he's been phenomenal.
Yes, Zane. Absolutely agreed.
Yeah, Zane said they wouldn't be 11-4, though.
Yeah, exactly. 100% agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. All righty. Well, we really, really appreciate everybody watching the live the whole time, commenting along. We love the comments. That's why we do the shows live, so that we can respond to them and interact with them. So we appreciate people taking the time to join us live. We will be live back next week on Tuesday night. That's our normally scheduled programming as far as our Packers shows are concerned. So we will be back on Tuesday night next week. So come join us Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and we will see you guys then. Go Pack, go, and let's come with a win.
Go Pack.